We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Professional athletes have been playing on artificial turf since the mid-60s. Many college football stadiums were outfitted with plastic grass or astroturf in the 1970s. More high schools are installing artificial turf today with the thinking that it's easier and cheaper to maintain. Pro athletes have complained about artificial turf since the beginning, saying they suffer more injuries than on real grass. But what if artificial turf contributes to more than just knee or ankle injuries? What if the chemicals used in the manufacture of the turf can increase the risk of cancer for those who play on it? For the past year, the Inquirer in Philadelphia has investigated the forever chemicals, or PFAs, that go into artificial turf. And it's not just the turf. Those forever chemicals are used to make the gear that firefighters use. Joining us on The Spark today are the two journalists who have investigated those forever chemicals, David Gambin-Korda and Barbara Laker. I want to welcome both of you to the program today. So let me start with the basic question of how this series came together. What was its genesis?
Well, we took note when David West, who had been a relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies in the early 1990s, died in 2022 from brain cancer. And he became, at that point, the sixth former Philly to die from glioblastoma. And Barbara and I just sort of got curious as to whether there might be potentially some sort of common link between all these cases. And we noticed that each of the former players had spent parts of their career at Veterans Stadium, which had been the Phillies ballpark from 1971 to 2003. So the stadium was demolished in 2004, but we were just trying to figure out what more we could find out about the stadium itself, and we were able to find pieces of the AstroTurf that had been on the Vets field on eBay. So we bought four samples, and Barbara had by then connected with researchers at two different laboratories who were willing to test the turf for us. And, you know, we had no preconceived notion of what it might show, but the test found that the turf contained 16 different types of PFAS.
So, Barbara, what is a PFA?
Well, they're called forever chemicals because they last forever. They don't go away in the environment, and they stay in the human body for a long, long, long time. And what they're used for in artificial turf is to make the blades separate, stand up, and look better. And so DuPont, Monsanto, lots of other companies were using and still today use PFAS in artificial turf and lots of other products, including like it was used in Teflon pans, in carpets, in couches, food packaging, makeup. It's all over the environment. But we learned that they were in the artificial turf, and as David said, 16 of them. And what was extra alarming is this turf that we had was 40 years old, and you could still find a lot of PFAS in the turf, which kind of prove that it never goes away.
Yeah, as a big Phillies fan and Eagles fan, I saw, you know, some of those swatches of turf that were available on eBay. Kind of glad I didn't buy any right now, though. So even though six players from the Phillies got this form of brain cancer, and it's a rare form of brain cancer, I guess it was above what would be expected. It's six out of thousands of players who played on that turf. So is it unusual that six out of thousands of people, that the turf may have something having to do with it?
Well, you know, we looked at this from a few different angles, and, you know, we consulted with epidemiologists at Harvard and other institutions. And, you know, because we're coming into this decades after the fact, you know, they had said, look, we'll never have a firm sense of what exactly the Phillies players were exposed to. But we do know some other details that we kind of uncovered as we reported this further. And one thing that's particularly interesting, I think, is that turf itself traps heat more so than natural grass. So if you think of a summer day game at Veterans Stadium, and sometimes the temperatures would rise to 165 degrees. And we know this from player testimony and also from photos of temperature gauges. And what happens when the turf heats up is that it releases, it's called off-gassing, these sort of volatile compounds that can be inhaled, can also be absorbed into the skin. So there's not really to this point been an in-depth study looking particularly at athletes who have developed cancer and the turf that they played on. But there is increasing interest in this topic. And I know just from the time that Barbara and I've spent on this, you know, we've talked to scientists all across the country who are now starting to study this issue further. So I think we're going to be learning a lot more in the next couple of years.
What do the manufacturers of the turf say?
Well, they actually won't talk to us. So we do know from internal documents within DuPont that they knew that these chemicals were hazardous and could be harmful. And they knew that for decades. So like dating back to the 60s and 70s, there were tests they did on animals. And so they knew for a long time. And it just seems like David and I are finding it's almost every month that experts add another cancer or another health hazard that could be linked to PFAS. And because the cancer is, you know, right now it's kidney and testicular, but some people believe that there could be links to many more cancers. It's linked to infertility, thyroid problems, asthma, I mean, a whole host of problems that people can have. And I just read this morning, in fact, that, you know, the rate of colorectal cancer is going up among young people, like drastically. And experts across the country are trying to figure out the why. Some people believe there may be a genetic mutation component or the diet that younger people have eaten for a long time. But some people are really looking carefully at environmental hazards, and one of them is PFAS.
Yeah, I think that's a good segue to point out that we are not just talking about something that was specific to Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. We're talking about artificial turf fields across the country, and even today. Now, the artificial turf of today is different than the AstroTurf that was originally on the floor of Veterans Stadium and on stadiums across the country. How is it different today? How is it made differently?
Well, I think the product itself is not as unforgiving as it was if you're thinking back to the 60s and 70s and 80s. I think manufacturers have gotten better at making the turf more cushioned and you know, maybe more resilient. But I guess the key thing that we were trying to hone in on was whether or not current generations of turf still contained PFAS. And we had asked that question of the Synthetic Turf Council, which is an organization that represents manufacturers across the country. And when we posed that question to them last spring, they didn't respond. But months later, we found that they had sent a letter to legislators in California, which was considering banning the sale of any turf that contained PFAS. And in that letter, they acknowledged that the current generations of turf still contain these chemicals and that the industry would need several years to figure out how to come up with turf that doesn't contain PFAS. So I think while the product is probably better from a performance standpoint than maybe it was in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, you're still dealing with this question of this issue, rather, of chemicals being present in the turf.
We see those little black chunks fly into the air, especially in football games on TV. What are they?
They're actually ground up tires. So there are thousands upon thousands of tires that have been discarded and they're ground up. And so that's why you see the little black pellets. And what's kind of amazing in that is that experts told us, for one thing, that tires contain a whole host of carcinogens, different carcinogens than PFAS, but they contain like lead, arsenic, like a ton of very dangerous carcinogens. And what's interesting also is that in Pennsylvania, for example, you cannot put tires in a landfill. It is not allowed. And yet you can put artificial turf, discarded artificial turf that contains ground up tires in a landfill. And so we found that so there's no real regulation as far as disposing of artificial turf in the state or really in the country. And so we're stuck with it.
I'm going to make the switch now to firefighting gear. The National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health studied 30,000 firefighters in Philadelphia and San Francisco and found they had a 14% higher chance of dying from cancer. Did they have any answers why?
Well, unfortunately, firefighters are exposed to a whole host of carcinogens in the regular course of their jobs. You know, when you think about them, responding to a burning building and all of the things that might be burning inside, you know, from appliances to furniture. So that risk, I think, has been understood to some degree for some time. But what we found last year as we went deeper into our reporting on this project was that the firefighting industry is now deeply concerned about PFAS as a potential driver of cancer cases. The International Association of Firefighters, the union that represents firefighters in America and in Canada, had told us that they, I think it was in 2022, added 261 names to a memorial that they have for fallen firefighters, and two-thirds of them had died of cancer. And what they were really upset about was that their uniforms, the turnout gear that they wear when they respond to blazes, contain PFAS. And you know, PFAS are often used as a water repellent, so it sort of makes sense that a firefighter's gear might have that. But studies have shown that the PFAS are not just on the outside of the firefighter's gear, but on a middle layer, a middle barrier, and on the inside part of the uniform that would be sort of up against you know, their bodies. And so the International Association of Firefighters is now involved in the litigation over this issue. And there's a pretty significant effort, even in federal government now, to research and develop firefighting gear that doesn't contain PFAS.
Congress did get involved. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But in your series, you quoted a 2018 study from the University of Notre Dame on firefighters' turnout gear. And I have to say that the response from one of those researchers was pretty alarming. What did he have to say?
Well, he had to, his name is Graham Peasley, I think, if you're referring to his research. And he's like probably the number one researcher, or at least in the, you know, in the top five across the country, who's been studying PFAS for years. And he found gear, some of it old gear, some of it new gear. And the levels of PFAS he measured in the lab was super alarming to him. And he not only found it in the gear, but in the dust in firehouses. And so he knew that you could tell from his research, and he talked to us about it, that firefighters were exposed like daily, all the time, because some firefighters, you know, they wear their turnout gear not only when they're fighting fires, but in the firehouse or to go do yard work or whatever. And so they were using it a lot. And same with the heat that we talked about at the vet. Obviously, when a firefighter goes into a burning building, talk about heat. I mean, it's like excessive. And the Graham Peasley told us that the firefighters are most at risk around the neck and around the groin area because those are, the skin is thin, and they can the PFAS can get into their system easily. And who know, you know, it's just experts are studying this all the time. Like they're frantically actually investigating this because they want to link it. But we found a lot of firefighters in Philadelphia who had and died of esophageal cancer. And some of them, their families really believe that it was on the job exposure from PFAS and the turnout gear.
After your stories dropped, Congress actually took notice and they want to find safer gear for firefighters. What has happened so far and what are they looking to do?
So there was legislation introduced last summer that would call for more than $100 million in federal spending to begin researching and producing gear, firefighting gear that does not contain PFAS. I think at this point, I don't know that the legislation has moved through the House and the Senate. Obviously, it takes time for bills like that to gain momentum. But in that same window of time, there was another federal study that was focused specifically on pieces of fabric that are used to build firefighting gear. And the scientists who worked on that study basically try to subject the fabric to different types of stressors, including extreme heat and abrasions, to sort of simulate what happens when a firefighter wears something day in and day out. And they found that by exposing it to heat and by just scraping it, that led to an increase in the amount of PFAS that could be detected, in some cases, dramatic increases. You know, the study stopped short of making any recommendations, but it seemed at the time like another piece of alarming information.
I want to get back to artificial turf for just a moment. You also had a story on its disposal. It cannot be disposed of very easily. In fact, Pennsylvania has become a dumping ground for it. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we found PFAS, rolls of artificial turf containing PFAS in farmlands in Pennsylvania. There was a Dutch company, Danish company, that says that it has a recycling plant in Pennsylvania that can recycle the artificial turf. But the plant has not opened yet. And so the company was finding farmers who were willing to store the turf on their farmland until the factory opened. The factory still hasn't opened. We understand that they're still trying to get permits for this factory that would recycle it. They supposedly can do it, but it hasn't been done yet in the United States. And some experts get very upset at meetings where turf companies say that they are going to recycle their turf and they name places that they are going to recycle it and the recycling plant doesn't exist. We did find one warehouse in Pottstown, Pennsylvania that said they were recycling it, but what they were doing is separating the carpet part, the part with the PFAS from the bottom part of the turf and where the crumb rubber is. And they can recycle the crumb rubber. But when we asked the person who owns the recycling company what he does or planned to do with the carpet part, he said he was going to send it to some partners and they were going to recycle it. But he would not go any further, would not tell me who his partners were or how they were actually going to recycle it.
And one of the farms where some of the rows of old turf are being stored is here in Dauphin County near Grantville, as one of your stories reported. We only have about a minute left. For parents who are listening to this and their children play on artificial turf, for firefighters who are listening to this, what's the future look like?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think in the short term, there's going to continue to be a lot of studying and testing around this issue. I think that what's been sort of collected and published so far, points to this being a serious issue and one of real concern. But I don't know that we know exactly where things will go from here. Mm.
Philadelphia Inquirer reporters David Gambin-Korda and Barbara Laker, I want to thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
By the way, real quick, are there other stories coming out? I know this has been a year-long series, but do you have other stories coming out?
Yes, we're working on one or two other big stories on this issue.